WML News at 7. Good morning. I'm Heather Curtis. President Donald Trump's optimistic that states can use the federal government's three-phase plan to reopen as soon as possible.
We want to get back, and we're going to be opening up states. They're being opened by very capable people. It's also point of sale, as they say, in a different business. It's the point they'll be able to look at that, you know, where the testing is taking place. We're going to help them with the testing. We've developed some tremendous tests over the last little while, and we're going to work with the states, and we're going to help them.
Leaders in our region think the plan's a good one, but D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser says,
what remains a concern is how do we get the type of testing and the amount of testing that will be needed to demonstrate how our communities get through all of these stages.
Maryland Governor Larry Hogan says this was the deadliest week so far in our region. Maryland's four-part recovery plan includes expanding testing, increasing hospital surge capabilities, increasing the supply of PPEs, and robust contact tracing.
It's really the numbers and those other four things, and then we can start ratcheting things up in a safe and smart, gradual way.
After protests in Virginia this week over social distancing, President Trump tweeted yesterday, liberate Virginia, Minnesota, and Michigan, other states where there were protests. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam.
I assure you, I want to get back to a place where all businesses can be open. And we will get there, but we have to do it with deliberation, using science, data, and testing to make sure that we do it safely.
As of Friday, there were a total of more than 21,400 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the D.C. metro area and 737 deaths. Worldwide, there have been more than 2 million confirmed cases of coronavirus and more than 154,000 deaths, according to data compiled by the Johns Hopkins University. More than 574,000 people around the world have recovered from COVID-19. Top Capitol Hill Democrats and Trump administration officials expect to work through the weekend to reach a deal on a new round of coronavirus stimulus relief.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says there have been constructive talks, and he expects to come to an agreement soon. At issue is whether to pass standalone funding for small businesses or to pass a larger interim bill that helps other areas, including hospitals and state and local governments. Democrats have been pushing for that combined funding, while Republicans had been standing firm on the standalone bill. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who was supporting just the small business funding, now says he's discussed the issue with President Trump and he may be willing to consider more aid, at least to hospitals. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
In sports, average Americans aren't the only ones getting smaller paychecks these days. NBA players will have their salaries cut soon.
It's a 25% pay cut for all players beginning May 15th after an agreement between the league and the players' union. ESPN also reporting it would allow for a gradual reduction in salary should a provision in the collective bargaining agreement be enacted if the remainder of the season is canceled due to the coronavirus pandemic. The NBA can alter payment if games cannot be played due to unexpected events.
Correspondent Joe Ramsey. Traffic and weather next on WMAL.
It's everything you need to know Sundays on WMAL. Starting at 5 a.m., it's VA Sunday Magazine. At 5:30, hear the Chris McKay Show. At 7, it's Heroes Talk Radio with Dave Ahrens. At 8, it's the Eric Stewart Show pointing you home. Hear The Wise Investor at 9, Dr. Tom Rozelle Live at 11, Purity Products at 2, Mortgage Radio at 3, Real Estate Today at 7, and at 9 p.m., it's Lawyer in Your Corner with Ryan Wilson on 105.9 FM WMAL.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
While you can't believe everything on social media these days, you can believe it's possible to start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Instead of waiting to see what happens when life gets back to normal, take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
WMAL traffic from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In Virginia, in Great Falls, you'll still need to watch out for some accident activity on the Georgetown Pike between Towson Boulevard and Bellevue Road. Follow police direction around this accident scene. No other incidents reported. Traveling in Virginia, you will still find a work zone. Traveling through Falls Church on eastbound 66 between the Connector Road and Fairfax Drive, there along the two right lanes. Keep in mind the West Falls Church station will be closed this weekend for the platform improvement project. Shuttle buses will be available between West Falls Church and the Dunloring stations. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
You'll want the umbrella for any time you spend outside this morning. Showers taper off and sunshine returns for the afternoon. We'll see highs in the mid-50s and some gusty winds up to 30 miles per hour at times. Tonight, a freeze watch impacts western counties. We're warmer tomorrow with highs in the mid-60s and afternoon clouds. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
Thank you for joining us on the Saturday morning update. It's hour two, and we kick it off with John Gizzi. He's the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. Good morning, John.
Good morning, and boy, once again, I'm sure glad it's the weekend.
John, we've spent quite a bit of time talking about the coronavirus task force and the press briefings that we've seen over the past month or so, but now the president has assembled a new group, the Economic Recovery Task Force. Tell us about the composition of the group.
Well, the president has involved a lot of people, captains of industry, leaders in the transportation business, church leaders. But what's most interesting of all is that the people who are closest to the president in terms of advice on this matter are present and apparently calling the shots. I'm talking about White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow, and Secretary of the Treasury Steve Mnuchin. Almost to a person, they lean to the president rather than to his medical and scientific advisors in believing that the country has got to begin the process of going back to work and going out to dinner in May. Now, again, the president is deferring to the state governors on this, but making it clear that the guidelines are up, and he wants to see Americans out doing things once again to jumpstart the economy. This is what his committee is essentially going to do, and he has three of his closest advisors there to make sure they do it his way.
He does have a diverse group there. They're not all particularly Trump fans in that group either.
No, they're not. And I think when you see the governors that are there, he's trying to reach out in particular to people who don't see it his way. It's also true in the business community. You have some people who are Hillary Clinton supporters in the past. But overall, it's a group that genuinely shares the idea America has got to be doing things sooner rather than later. And I think you'll see them moving in that direction.
We see the cooperation there, John, but looking at the Democratic Party and so many of the talking heads this week, including Chris Murphy, the senator from Connecticut, who blames it all on Trump, we're not seeing the kind of unity that we saw after a 9/11 or, say, a Cuban Missile Crisis.
No, I think one has to go back to President Bush's strike in Iraq in 2003 to find a case where people disagreed as much. But even then, that position was bipartisan. It was only after it developed for a period of time that you saw people splitting and the issue becoming the proverbial political football. Now, when you look at the coronavirus and the virus crisis that results, one would expect that the parties would come together and work together. We got a glimmer of that when we saw Congress pass the $2 trillion stimulus package unanimously, and with members of the Senate coming in to vote one after the other, and not a dissenting vote in the House, although Kentucky's Tom Massey certainly tried to be one for a while. But that lasted for one shining moment, and then the partisan charges fly like shrapnel, and the blame game is played. My guess is that whatever kind of a presidential campaign developed, it's going to be about the coronavirus. During World War II, Republican Tom Dewey said in 1944, when he challenged Franklin D. Roosevelt, the war should remain completely out of politics. That's because both parties agreed that victory was the answer and it needed to be ended as soon as possible. Not so with the coronavirus. That's going to dominate the debate and dominate the campaign coming up. You watch.
Well, you mentioned the campaign coming up. Joe Biden got some support this week from Bernie Sanders and Barack Obama. Not like they had a lot of choice as to where to go on that.
No, they didn't. And Bernie Sanders made an endorsement and finally said he would support Joe Biden, albeit his goal is less to elect President Biden and more to defeat President Trump. Barack Obama praised his old friend and vice president for 8 years, calling his choice of Joe Biden as a running mate one of the best decisions he ever made. It was pretty much expected, and Obama, who rarely makes political speeches, did seem to rally the troops. And oh yes, Elizabeth Warren not only said she supported Joe Biden, but she would accept being his running mate if the job was offered. For the most part, the latest round of endorsements totally vindicates the position that many have had for a while. It's certainly not enthusiasm over the former vice president that people are rallying to him. One thinks that if either Senator Sanders or Senator Warren were the nominee, you'd see the same joining of hands at this point. It's to be Donald Trump.
What do you sense the direction of the party may be after the virtual convention? In other words, Bernie Sanders is tugging to the left, and I think Joe Biden has echoed some of Bernie Sanders' ideas this week. Where do you see it ultimately when we're getting down to the wire in September, October?
The Democratic Party will continue its step to the port that began in 1972 with the nomination of George McGovern, that was briefly interrupted with the nominations of Jimmy Carter and later Bill Clinton, both of whom, I might add, were elected by running as anything but liberals, and of course has continued under Barack Obama. Although President Obama himself would deny he's any mean leftist and would instead choose to discuss, as he did last week, the occasions he disagreed with Bernie Sanders. But all of that is gradually slipping away. The centrist wing of the party is becoming non-existent, and it's becoming as much a left-of-center party as its counterpart in Britain, the Labour Party. Now, in terms of this convention coming up, virtual or otherwise, one can expect a running mate of Joe Biden who is to his left and can prove it. I'm talking about an Elizabeth Warren or a Kamala Harris. A platform of the Democratic Party that confirms a woman's right to choose under any circumstances, climate change as one of the compelling issues of our time, a finger-pointing about the virus at the Trump administration, and, of course, possibly the ending of all student loans, something Bernie Sanders championed and which took him very far in the campaign. In any event, Joe Biden may be the last of the moderates, but he's going to embrace it all to try to win. That's what we have to look for. Oh, yes, there's one more thing, and you heard it right here, Rick. The Democratic Convention, virtual or otherwise, will probably make a selection that the keynote address, something very important at conventions of both parties, or the nomination speech for Joe Biden will be delivered by Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York. In that sense, he carries on for his father, who electrified Democrats by keynoting the 1984 convention and had them cheering at Madison Square Garden when he placed Bill Clinton a nomination in 1992. Let's see if Andrew can repeat and truly be his father's son.
One last note, John. President Trump cutting off funding to the World Health Organization while an investigation is undertaken. How's that going to go over with the international community?
Well, the international community, for the most part, has denounced the president on this. The European Union, for example, in no uncertain terms, is against it. Although it's interesting, Hungary remained neutral by not signing the condemnation of the Trump position. Other countries have weighed in, and of course, Democrats from Speaker Pelosi on down say he doesn't have the legal authority to do it. Meanwhile, this is becoming a rallying issue for Trump's fellow Republicans. Before he cut off the funding himself, 20 House Republicans joined Pennsylvania Congressman Guy Riegenthaler to support a resolution shutting off funding until Dr. Tedros, the notoriously pro-China director general of the WHO, quit and the WHO itself was investigated for misreporting or downplaying the reports of a pneumonia coming from Wuhan, China. On the day the president announced he was cutting off funding, 20 more members joined the Riegenthaler resolution, and on Friday afternoon, just yesterday, the number was up to 46. This is an issue that resonates with the president's allies and that base that he likes to cultivate.
John Gizzi, the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. You can follow him on Twitter at John Gizzi, and also you can just simply Google Gizzi on politics. John, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure, and it's amazing how when you cover these things, you realize how long they've been around. This month, in 1948, the World Health Organization was founded.
Boy, isn't that ironic. It is 7:17. It is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Still to come between now and 8 o'clock, Cheryl Atkinson, KT McFarland, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. Right now, a check of the traffic and weather with Michelle Murray in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In the district, a portion of Independence Avenue in Southeast will be closed between 1st Street and New Jersey Avenue for a couple of hours due to construction activity, so you will need to use an alternate route. In Virginia, in Great Falls, still watch out for the accident activity in both directions of the Georgetown Pike between Tolston Boulevard and Bellevue Road. Follow police direction around the accident scene. In Maryland, do watch out for some road work in Bowie on westbound 50 between Collington Road and Enterprise Road along the right side. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
We're starting off this Saturday morning with scattered showers. The rain should taper off late morning, giving way to plenty of afternoon sunshine. But don't let it fool you. We'll be breezy and cool. Highs in the mid-50s. A freeze watch west tonight with lows in the 30s, low 40s east. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Temperatures dropped down a couple of degrees. 46 now at 7:18 on the Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It's a Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Great to have you with us, and it's always great to be joined by Cheryl Atkinson. She's the host of Full Measure. That's tomorrow morning, ABC 7 at 10 o'clock. And good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning.
So there's a story this week that involves coronavirus, the Wuhan lab that everyone is talking about, fact checkers, and you. Connect the dots for us.
You know, I'm always looking at the control and manipulation of information on the news and online, and this is a great one, really eye-opening. I shared an Epic Times documentary that was on YouTube about the Wuhan lab, and it didn't make any firm conclusions. It just talked about what's been going on there. It had some documents translated from Chinese and talked about how there's an idea that the coronavirus may have come from there. Well, the next day I get up, and on Facebook, I've been told by Facebook and everybody who follows me, I guess, Cheryl Atkinson shared false information. And this appeared, I guess, with everybody who shared that. It has over a million views. So I'm clicking around to see what on earth is going on. And long story short, when I dug into the bowels of whoever's doing Facebook fact checks, near the bottom of this one is a woman who says she has worked collaboratively as a scientist at that lab for the past 2 years. In other words, a scientist here in the U.S. connected to the communist Chinese working at this very lab is the one that Facebook is allowing to fact check information about the lab. And her conclusion, not surprisingly, was that no mistakes could ever be made at a lab like this. It is clear that they use all the best practices and nothing could be wrong, but nobody ever knows this is who fact-checked it. They just get this notification that says the information's false. And by the way, 2 days after the documentary came out, came to be pretty much almost all the news agrees that this is a very legitimate line of questioning as to whether this virus may have come from that lab. But Facebook, as far as they're concerned, and the woman who worked at the lab is concerned, their fact-checker, this is all false information. So we just have to be so careful about letting third parties fact check our news for us rather than leaving it up to us to do our own culling through information. I think this is very dangerous.
So not only do you need to be careful about all the content online that is not vetted or fact checked, now you have to be concerned about that is quote unquote fact checked.
Yeah.
Want to turn to a story you're doing tomorrow on coronavirus. And this is something that I think is on a lot of people's mind, as to whether we may have had the disease, and if we have, there are stories that we could be immune from it. If we've had it, we don't know it. You talked to a key person that's researching this.
This is a lead scientist with one of the first, if not the first, study looking at this question. 2 months ago, he was in the same place I was, asking, wow, with all this talk about testing people for coronavirus now, and with all this data being put out that really isn't rooted in a lot of facts, someone needs to know how prevalent this has been in our society, because the death rates you heard, all scientists agree, and I've talked to a bunch of them who work on coronavirus, the death rate for coronavirus, is the death rates that were put out, are inaccurate because they only measured the number of deaths among the relatively small number of people who were tested and tested positive. The real death rate is that the people who died among all the people who've had coronavirus, including those who never knew it, and with 85 or 86%, according to scientists, being asymptomatic, that's a big group of people. Millions of people may have already had it, according to these researchers. So to get an accurate death rate for the first time, this scientist we'll be talking to on Full Measure has given thousands of antibody tests to general population people in Santa Clara, California, in Los Angeles County, and he's fanning out to different parts, he and his team, of the United States. So for the first time, we'll start to know how prevalent it really was. And he points out it may well have been here. It certainly was here weeks before we knew it, but it may well have been here, he thinks, even months before we knew it, when we weren't testing and just didn't know enough about it.
You have another story that relates kind of to all of us, and it's a concern I had initially when I started to think about all the people who would be working from home, obviously on the internet, those people that would be streaming audio, video, movies, TV on the internet, and what would happen to the internet. Could we handle it? What, you know, what's the bandwidth story? And you look into that tomorrow. What did you find out?
Well, it's interesting because there's different aspects. I'm not very technical, but there is the question of Wi-Fi, the stuff that you kind of hook up to your home networks. There's a question of just the internet at large. And I interviewed the head of the FCC, Ajit Pai, who that's sort of his, you know, all falls under his general watch. And he talked about how in Europe, when the stay-at-home orders came down almost right away, they ordered Netflix and YouTube dial back on the quality of their video streaming to keep their internet from crashing. We haven't had to do that here. Now, mine's been glitchy and slow. I don't know if yours has too, but we haven't had to order any big dial backs. And I asked him, you'll see in the program tomorrow, what's the difference? Why did Europe have to do it? We haven't had to do something like that yet. What is our capacity? Do we even know how much traffic we can handle? The video streaming, the conference calls by video, all of that, the live distance learning, that's super, super intensive in terms of capacity and what it takes up. So he has a lot more information on that.
There were developments this week in the FISA abuse story that's been ongoing. The next question is what does the Congress do with the FISA court?
Well, they're still deciding that. A lot of them would love to do away with it. I don't think that's going to happen because there's too much lobbying on the other side. But I've been very critical of FISA for the reasons that people know, not just what happened to me around the FISA court, but the government spying on me, the FBI, and so on. But also, we now know that, as I suspected, many Americans were abused by government officials who spied on them without the proper warrants, or we now know by using warrants at the FISA court that weren't right. So I've been somewhat critical based on the facts. But in the interest of, I always like to hear different sides, I'm interviewing a FISA expert named George Croner, who used to work at the NSA, National Security Agency, and he kind of defends the system as is. I mean, he knows there's some issues, but he doesn't think the issues are with the FISA court or the law itself. So we'll get to hear from him tomorrow as he makes his best case for not changing things too much.
Well, that's all tomorrow morning, ABC 7, 10 o'clock. It's Full Measure, also repeats during Sundays on News Channel 8. And as always, Cheryl, thank you very much for being with us, and really looking forward to watching the show tomorrow.
Thank you. Take care.
7:26, you are listening to the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer just around the corner, and KT McFarland on the way as well, so do stay with us.
Hi, I'm Jeff Dick, Chairman and CEO of Main Street Bank.
And my name is Chris Brockett, President of Main Street Bank.
Together, we pack a powerful punch so we can assure those who bank with us the very best in customer service, combined with secure, high-tech products.
We're a business-focused bank. Bank with us, and your business will receive easy access to Jeff, me, and secure Main Street Bank products that provide smooth cash flow and lending power. Visit mstreetbank.com, member FDIC.
At Hadid Rug and Carpet Cleaning Service, we understand these are uncertain times. But Joe Hadid wants you to know we are open and ready to serve our customers and our community. And keeping you safe is our top priority. So we're adhering to rigorous health and safety protocols, allowing us to continue to keep your rugs clean and safe from dirt, allergens, and bacteria. Because we know how important a clean rug is to the health and safety of your home. Right now, Joe is offering 50% off his sanitize and disinfectant treatment. He's also extended the 3-for-2 special. For every two rugs you have clean, get the third rug clean free. Joe has also added his curbside pickup and delivery service. Leave your rugs out front and we'll come by and pick them up and drop them off absolutely free. Hey, we're all in this together. So remember, a clean home is a healthy home. Call today or go online and schedule your next pickup at joehadid.com. That's joehadid.com.
For all your Oriental rug cleaning needs, just
hey, Vince Colonnese here. We're all trying to get through the coronavirus, and as we do, we at WMAL appreciate your support in turning to us for the latest information. We also appreciate the support of our WMAL advertisers and your support of them. Please continue to patronize our valued advertisers as permitted and once we get through this crisis. And we will get through this together. Thank you for listening to and supporting WMAL.
Hey, it's Chris Plant, and you already know that Roofing and More is Northern Virginia's most qualified siding contractor and a premier James Hardy remodeler. But did you know they're now offering virtual appointments? My friend Kyle Hoffman and his team at Roofing and More understand the public concern regarding face-to-face contact and on-site visits. So they've created an online process for your family's protection. Increase the beauty, value, strength, and durability of your home with James Hardy Fiber Cement Siding. Built to outlast all other options on the market today, James Hardy Fiber Cement Siding is America's number one siding choice. To learn more about low-maintenance fiber cement siding options for your home, call Roofing and More at 703-467-0206 or visit roofingandmoreinc.com and schedule your virtual appointment today. When you expect more, you get more. Roofing and More.
Roofing and More. What's the more for? Windows, siding, gutters, and doors.
Washington's Mall.
It's fabulous.
105.9 FM.
I can't thank you enough.
WMAL. Where Washington comes to talk.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station. News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning, I'm Heather Curtis. More than 67,000 people have filed unemployment claims in the district since March 13th, according to D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser. She says now it takes an estimated 21 days to process each claim.
By adding more resources and providing more information to claimants, we are hoping to push those days down from 21 days to 14 days to process claims.
She says be sure to provide the required documentation when you file, because if you don't, it takes longer to process your claim. And in Virginia, Governor Ralph Northam says,
we had more than 106,000 additional unemployment claims last week and more than 410,000 in the past month. That's a lower number than the previous week, but it also doesn't include all of the people who are newly eligible,
including temporary workers and the self-employed. Money is tight for lots of unemployed Americans. President Donald Trump says the Department of Agriculture will be implementing a $19 billion relief program that will help farmers, ranchers, and Americans struggling to put food on the table.
The program will include direct payments to farmers as well as mass purchases of dairy, meat, and agricultural produce to get that food to the people in need.
Food purchased from farmers will be given to food banks and community and faith-based organizations feeding the hungry. Traffic and weather next on WMAL.
Recently, you saw the stock market fall more in a single day than any day since the crash of 87. I'm Rick Edelman. Unlike past market crashes, though, this crisis is easy to explain. And we know that when medical science delivers a solution, life will return to normal and stock prices should recover. So if your situation hasn't changed and your long-term goals remain the same, you should stick with your long-term outlook and your diversified portfolio. Today offers you an opportunity to rebalance your investments, maybe even to add to your portfolio. After all, lower prices can be a buying opportunity. You could even refinance your mortgage thanks to new lower rates. If you're unsure of what to do, call us here at Edelman Financial Engines. We've helped our clients get through tumultuous times for 34 years, and we can help you get through this one too. Call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us online at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
In Virginia, you will still find some accident activity westbound on the Georgetown Pike between Tolston Boulevard and Bellevue Road. Follow police direction around the accident scene. In the district, keep in mind that a portion of Independence Avenue in Southeast will be closed between 1st Street and New Jersey Avenue for the next couple of hours for construction activity. And on Metro, an orange line alert in preparation for the platform improvement project. The West Falls Church Metro station will be closed this weekend, but limited shuttles between Dunloring and West Falls Church will be available. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Storm Watch 7 forecast.
Scattered showers this morning will give way to afternoon sunshine. Expect a strong northwest breeze and cool temperatures to go along with it. Highs only reach the mid-50s. We're down to the 30s and low 40s tonight, highs tomorrow in the mid-60s with clouds increasing for the afternoon. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Rachel Kay in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Hey, it's Larry O'Connor, and you've heard me talk about how EMP 180 helped me become a healthier person. Now comes new info from the CDC about how obesity puts people at risk for the disease that's on everybody's mind, COVID-19. And here's the great news. You can now join people all over the area and take advantage of EMP 180's remote program. Kara's in Indiana, but Kara, you've been using the EMP 180 remote system.
Yes, I have. I enjoy it so much, I actually extended the program.
I've told people how great the EMP 180 system is, most specifically working with their great nutrition coaches. But how do you do this from Indiana?
Yeah, I have a weekly conference call with my nutritionist, and she counsels me, advises me, and it's really helpful encountering challenges and sticking to the program. It keeps me accountable, and I just, it's incredibly helpful.
Try EMP Remote for yourself. Don't wait. Just go straight to EMP180.com. That's EMP180.com.
Have you wanted to speak a new language, but you thought it'd be too hard or take too much time? Then go to Babbel.com, download the app, and try it for free. In just 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. And right now, you can try Babbel for free. Babbel starts out teaching you words and phrases by matching them with pictures. You won't believe how easy the interactive program is. Soon the sentences get a little bigger, and before you know it, you're having simulated conversations voiced by native speakers. And because Babbel is crafted by language experts and uses the spaced repetition method, in just 10 to 15 minutes a day, you'll be speaking the language of your choice with real confidence. With Babbel, you can speak a language. Just go to Babbel.com and start your first lesson in the language of your choice for free. Download the Babbel app or go to Babbel.com and try it for free. That's Babbel.com.
.736, you're listening to the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. We're joined each week at this time by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He is the author of Operation Dark Heart. He is a retired senior DOD intelligence officer. Tony, it is great to have you with us.
Hey, Rick, always great to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
And you were interviewed for the Epic Times documentary, Tracking Down the Origin of the Wuhan Coronavirus. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo yesterday reiterating that the administration was eyeing the Wuhan Institute of Virology, accusing the Chinese government of stonewalling scientists from finding out what happened. Pretty strong language from the Secretary of State, and he's not known for mincing his words.
No, and he's not known for saying something he's unsure of. So we are at this point very sure, Rick, that the Chinese are lying. And look, it's so obvious that the New York Times headline this morning says they're dead. There's death pits of at least 7,000 lives in different places in China. So there's clearly the need for people to examine kind of the what's going on in these places overseas right now. And we know the Chinese have not been truthful. We know that they've been doing everything they can to upset and distract from their responsibility as well as the scope of what happened in their country. So when we examine this now, when the intelligence community is already starting to sort through exactly what happened, we have to remember two things about China. First, the first leader of communist China was a guy named Mao Zedong. Mao killed 300 million of his own people and said he had no problem with that because it was necessary. Now, think about that. That's the father of the Communist Party. Secondly, as I've mentioned on the show here when we first talked about this, there's the potential of a Chernobyl situation. For those of you who watched the HBO special, I think it illustrated how the Russians, the Soviet Russians, were more focused on maintaining the central party and its power in the old Soviet Union than trying to deal with the reality of the Chernobyl disaster, of the nuclear disaster that befell them I guess it was the 80s. So that's the thing we have to understand here, is that the Chinese government is only focused on retaining its power and sacrificing, if it has to, thousands of people is really no big deal, as long as they can sustain themselves economically as well as globally regarding dominance of markets. And in this documentary you're talking about, it's talked about unrestricted warfare. The Chinese government sees the world as a battlefield, and economics and things like this are fair game for purposes of trying to maintain their dominance or achieving their dominance. So these are all things we have to understand regarding China as we examine what happened regarding the Wuhan virus.
So has this all been a wake-up call for our reliance on China for everything from masks to gowns to medicines and all of the other products that China produces? What does that mean for the supply chain and planning moving forward?
Absolutely, and it's a great point. We've already recognized that you cannot rely upon some Chinese industries relating to potential modification of electronics goods. That's something the Pentagon's pointed out. But beyond that, Rick, now we understand, based on the fact that so much manufacturing, things like pharmaceuticals, things like certain categories of durable goods, these things had all been shifted to China. Some things are actually manufactured partly here, sent to China for finishing, and sent back here. And what we've come to find is obviously the Chinese are going to play games with that supply chain. There's things right now that they don't want to make available, or more importantly, things that if we cannot have, we create a critical shortage. So we, the London Center, are actually working as part of a new task force, an academic government task force that's actually going to start working to examine these issues. What are our reliance issues? And many of us see this as I don't believe this is going to be the civilization-ending event that many had feared. With that said, Rick, it's our job now as national security professionals to examine this from the perspective of what must we fix to make sure this doesn't happen again. And China's role in the origins, as well as their role as a supplier of critical industrial issues and material has to be examined and changed. There's no way we cannot change this now.
And there was a story this week that the Chinese had dispatched an aircraft carrier, and it raised a few eyebrows in terms of where it was in proximity to U.S. assets. What does this mean kind of in the big picture moving forward? You know, their military power, their economic power. If the world opens their eyes, and Gordon Chang alluded to this morning, you know, that not only are we talking about the U.S., but we're talking about Europe and other countries that could all be moving away from China's economic dominance.
Well, that's the issue. And Gordon is one of our senior fellows, as you probably know, and we've been looking at this for years. And, yes, this needs to be a global effort to shun China. There's no other way to put it. Again, you have to look at, examine their motives and what they will or will not do in a situation like this. And I think all global markets have to understand, first off, they're making themselves vulnerable by depending on China. And frankly, there are better market access points and better points of production. I know Vietnam, I was talking to one of the senior academic members of our task force on Wednesday. And Vietnam has become a very reliable manufacturer and partner on global markets. So it's time that we examine kind of for our own purposes in Europe what needs to be done to fix this. This cannot exist in such a way that we or our European allies are dependent on an unreliable partner who would use a situation like this to gain military or global advantage. So we have to know that.
And you talk a lot about the supply chain, and of course there is a lot of criticism of the Trump administration for not having enough tests quickly enough, not having enough masks and gowns quickly enough. Give us a sense of the magnitude of the drain on the supplies of, how quickly this hit us, and the overwhelming of the system because of the magnitude in, 50 states, you've got this outbreak.
Well, that's the issue. And President Trump is correct that he has immense power. But with that said, each state has its own responsibility. There is, the constitutional division, according to the 10th Amendment, that all things that the federal government does not have within the Constitution is left to the states. And most of the things we're talking about at this point, Rick, are public health issues relating to each state. And that's why the president's left it open for each state to figure out the best way to come back online, with some exceptions where he's kind of taunting states like Michigan and some other places where I think they've gone over the top to suppress freedoms. Obviously, he's not acting on that. He's simply encouraging people to go, to question their governor. But with that said, I think all the things that have to be done now are relating to the states. And again, the federal government is positioned to be able to sustain itself and a handful of others. If you have literally a dozen states critically hit all at once, you quickly use up the federal supply. And part of that issue, Rick, is that the federal supply was not replenished by the previous administration. So when you have something like this and all of a sudden people start showing up asking for stuff and it's not there, it's not good. And so, again, this is another lesson we've learned. And plus, we want to have more domestic supply capabilities of these critical issues that would have to go to the state in any case the next time this happens, which it inevitably will.
And again, you know, a lot of criticism, but if you look at what the Army Corps of Engineers has accomplished, FEMA, and all of the other government agencies that have, you know, stepped up to the plate, the hospital ships, everything else, I mean, it's been right. A pretty amazing response. And it appears that, you know, governors asked for more than they needed, and you can't fault them for that because they didn't know what was coming. But fortunately, you know, it appears that in many instances, the feds were able to come in and provide these resources that fortunately ended up not fully being utilized.
And to that point, Rick, and I know this is something your audience will understand, the planning by Northern Command and DHS happened well in advance of any public acknowledgement of what was going on. And this was done because they did not want to panic people. And to your point, you don't know how bad it's going to be in different regions, so you had to be very careful in this. So I can tell you for a fact, 30 days before people knew about this, Northern Command was moving stuff into the region, into these different regions. So they were postured and ready and have responded, I think, amazingly well considering the circumstance. So,
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, as always, thank you very much for being with us this morning. Appreciate your perspectives.
Always great to be on, Rick. Thanks.
You got it. 7:46, it's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
Stafford County near Courthouse Road, quickly cleared from the roadway. No residual delays there. Looks like the earlier accident on the Georgetown Pike near Towson Road has been cleared. No more delays in that area. Traveling in Maryland, no issues to report on the Beltway. Just keep in mind the long-term work zone on inner and the outer loop of the Beltway at Central Avenue. And also do watch out for some road work on 50 westbound between 197 and Enterprise Road along the right side. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
We're starting off this Saturday morning with scattered showers. The rain should taper off late morning, giving way to plenty of afternoon sunshine. But don't let it fool you. We'll be breezy and cool, highs in the mid-50s. A freeze watch west tonight with lows in the 30s, low 40s east. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Rachel Kay in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
46 degrees. It's 7:47 on the Saturday Morning Update.
Hi, it's Larry O'Connor, and you know, we've been spending a lot of time at home these days, and over at Renter's Warehouse, that reminds us just how important home is as a place of stability and a stable investment in our future. So here's their message for you. Renter's Warehouse is standing by right now to help you get the most out of your most important investment. As the experts in real estate and property management, they know how to navigate uncertain times and mitigate risk. Renter's Warehouse is here to listen, consult, and ease your stress. From video conferencing to virtual tours, they've got the people and resources to manage and market your property now while still putting safety first. They know how important home is, and as we all look toward the future, you don't want to wait and you don't want to worry. So go to rwdcnova.com right now. That's rwdcnova.com or call them 202-625-4370. That's 202-625-4370. Renter's Warehouse, you'll always have a home with us.
Hi, this is Elaine Mick, owner of Cabinet Discounters. Whether you're remodeling your kitchen, bath, family room, office, den, or any other room in your home, you'll find almost everything you need for your project when you visit one of Cabinet Discounter's 7 showrooms in Maryland and Virginia. We offer a huge selection of quality cabinetry, a wide choice of accessories and flooring, and you'll discover that we actually manufacture your quartz or granite countertops in our own factory in Mount Airy, Maryland. See some of the fantastic projects we've done in the photo gallery at CabinetDiscounters.com, where you'll also find our 7 showroom locations and hours. Then call for a free consultation with an experienced designer
or use the convenient form on our website, cabinetdiscounters.com. That's cabinetdiscounters.com.
Check it out at cabinetdiscounters.com. That's cabinetdiscounters.com.
Cabinet Discounters, great quality, great price.
Montgomery County Ride-On's annual food drive is returning for its 32nd year. Please donate a non-perishable food item when you board any Ride-On bus April 19th through the 25th. Healthy food and drink items for kids are especially encouraged. Ride-On will do their part by giving you a free ride in return. That's the 32nd annual Montgomery County Ride-On annual food drive, happening April 19th through the 25th. Let's work together to make sure no one goes hungry in Montgomery County.
...7:50 Saturday Morning Update, WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. KT McFarland joins us, former Deputy National Security Advisor in the Trump administration and the author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. And that book gives real insight into how it all works in Washington and especially in the Trump administration. And KT, good morning.
Good morning.
The blame game has been going on. It seems to be getting worse. As you know, it just strikes me the Democrats have been just so irrelevant recently. President Trump has had to take the lead. He's had the Corona task force meetings. Every evening there's been a briefing on television that now, you know, a lot of the media outlets don't even air anymore because he's gained so much traction with them. But the blame game, how does it strike you? You've been around Washington long enough and you've seen it, but this is just, to me, it's mind boggling.
Yeah, it's never been worse than this. I was in Washington during Watergate. It's democracy at its worst. It's infighting to the point of dysfunction. And as you point out, it's not really even the Democrats. They're kind of irrelevant right now. It's the press. And they're doing it for no other reason than to score points. And the American people are out of the game, which is why they all hate Washington and can't stand the media. And they want leaders to grow up and solve this thing. I mean, I call them the bitter little ankle biters bitching about Trump. Acronym is BLABITS. Vladimir Lenin had a name for them, too, and they were useful idiots, the people who unwittingly advanced the enemy's agenda. For 3 years, these people advanced Putin's agenda by getting us to fight among ourselves and sow doubt about the ability of democracies to function when they had the Russia investigations, which we now know were basically based on Russian propaganda and disinformation. So now the useful idiots, they're advancing China's interests by blaming Trump for everything. First, he closed the borders with China. And what do they say? Oh, he's a racist. He's a xenophobe. Now he's accused of not taking the virus seriously enough and acting sooner. And they're complaining that if he reopens the country to avoid economic doom, he'll just get a lot of people killed. And if he doesn't reopen the country, he'll be blamed for causing a recession. Look, I think he can never win with these useful idiots. He ought to just ignore them and go on with business.
Yeah, I mean, what do you do? And he's leaving it to the governors, which I think is a very smart move on his part, regionalizing it and, taking the risk of making the wrong move in an area that, the feds maybe shouldn't be making that decision. So I think that's a smart strategy.
The thing about the country is that, so for example, and I talked to people on the National Security Council, and they said that the reason that New York is so bad is it came in from Kennedy. And once it got into the New York subways, New York was doomed. But yet in parts of the country, rural parts of the country, it's not even an issue. Mm-hmm. So Trump is right to leave it up to the discretion of the governors, many of whom are leaving it up to the discretion of the mayors. It is a localized thing. And I think Trump is also right that if he doesn't start getting the economy going, the cure is worse than the disease.
We spent a lot of time talking about China, and the reason we do is that each week there seems to be yet another important development surrounding China and misinformation and deceit and cover-ups, and nobody knows what the death toll is in Wuhan, but we tend to doubt that it's whatever the Chinese are telling us. You obviously... Mm-hmm. In your position at the White House, dealt with the Chinese. And as you see more revelations come out as to how they've mishandled the virus, just your sense and what you wrote in the book about China, I think, is very enlightening for people that have not read it.
Well, and I do spend a lot of time talking about China, and I've been involved with China since Kissinger. I worked for Kissinger in the opening to China. American businessmen put China's interests first for a long time, and so did American politicians. The politicians said, well, if we help China modernize, it's going to become an open society, an open economy. It'll be an ally and a trading partner. Well, that turned out to be wrong, but the politicians never changed course because they were too invested in it. The businessmen, they were making a lot of money on it, the China traders. I mean, they got rich doing this, and so they didn't want to change. And I think that's what the Trump revolution is all about. He's put American interests first. It's time to stand up to China. That's why I supported him. And I absolutely left the regular traditional Republicans because they were not recognizing the threat that China posed. Trump did, and Trump stood up to China. Now, this is all way before the virus hit. I think the Chinese, their goal, and has been even before the virus, is to replace the United States as the world dominant power. They believe they're the center of the universe. They think they've always been for thousands of years, and it is their right to rule other nations. China has never had allies. It's had vassals who paid tribute to China. And they openly brag about the 21st century being a Chinese century, a Chinese world order. Democracy is finished. Free market capitalism is on the way out. We're the wave of the future. And their plan has always been to push U.S. out of the South China Sea, really, which is the world's largest maritime trade route, by 2020, and push us out of the Pacific by 2030. And then by 2050, the 100th anniversary of the founding of Communist China, they plan to dominate the world and have it be the Chinese world order at our expense. And they were very well on their way to doing this until Trump stood up to them. But now they're using their virus to accelerate their plan. I mean, whether the virus was developed as a biological weapon in a lab or it happened naturally in a wet market, I don't really care. But it's what the Chinese have done with it since. They knew they had a problem in Wuhan, and they locked down the city. They didn't let people from Wuhan go to other parts of China. But they let people from Wuhan go abroad, encouraged them to go abroad, especially to the U.S. and Europe. So think about that for a minute. They knew they had a pandemic in the making, and they deliberately unleashed it on the world. Now, to me, that's a bioweapon. The rest of the world is now reeling from the pandemic. So what are the Chinese doing? Well, they're on a PR propaganda campaign. They've gone to countries and said, if you want tests and masks and other PPE, you have to stop saying bad things about us. You say nice things about us, and we'll give you this stuff. Well, they said nice things about China. China didn't give them the equipment. It sold them the equipment. And now it turns out most of it is faulty and defective. That's how China plays with the rest of the world. And so I think that I've now concluded with the way they've handled this, the way they've treated the PR campaign, the propaganda campaign, the calling it, you know, saying really blatant untruths and expecting people to parrot them. And at the same time, they're borrowing money like mad from the Asian Development Bank, the World Bank, the IMF. Why? Because they want to buy up distressed properties, tech companies in the West, and resources around the world at fire sale prices. They plan to walk out of this as the world dominant power in 3 or 4 years, not 2050. They plan to take advantage of it and do it now. And then they will be like the United States was at the end of World War II. Dominate the world, rewrite the world rules. Now the United States rules were to benefit everyone. The China's rules are not going to benefit anybody but China.
Amazing. So, our politicians will you know, tear down President Trump, and you've got all this going on versus China.
Yeah, look, they're arguing over deck chairs on the Titanic, okay, or who gets the best deck chair. Meanwhile, the ship is headed for the iceberg, and soon everybody is going to be in that icy cold water and drowning. A Chinese world order does not mean that the journalists and everybody gets to do whatever they want. It means no more independence in foreign or economic policy. No more freedom of choice, no more freedom of speech, no longer anybody can criticize China. I think that when we come out of this, we're going to, the world ahead, I mean, the next 10 years, there's going to be sort of four options, the way I see it. First, we continue to argue with each other in America while China just takes over the world. And then once that happens, you don't reverse that. We have no choice. Well, no more independence for the United States or anybody. Or number two, we find a way to live with China, with fair reciprocal trade, level playing field, follow the rules, of the current liberal world order. I mean, that was the track that Trump was on. But China is not, is now showing no interest in doing that. They're going to pretend to do it, but they have no interest in having that be the outcome. The next possibility is we have a new Cold War with China on one side and free market democracies led by us on the other. We secure our supply lines. We bring critical industries back home. We're no longer vulnerable to Chinese blackmail. Or we have a hot war, which nobody wants. So I think we need to start planning now, not just to cure the, find the tests, develop the tests, get the cures, get a vaccine, fix the economy, but we really need to start thinking right now, because the Chinese are way ahead of us. We need to think now and take the steps to be an independent nation when this is all over.
K.T. McFarland, author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People, the Kindle version available at Amazon, so you can start reading the book this morning if you like. As always, K.T., thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's it for the Saturday Morning Update. Garden Sense follows the news next with Heather Curtis.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.